Right now, genealogy research is a big deal. A lot of people want to know more about who came before them, and finding out who your great-great-great-grandparents were was kind of cool. But have you ever stopped to think back further, where the human species even came from and how it fits into the family tree of life? Evolutionary science has given us a pretty good genealogy of the human species and a lot of other species, too. We have a family tree that shows how close we are to other forms of life. But our next guest says recent science shows that things are more complicated than we might have thought, in part because genes have been moving around in unexpected directions. David Quammen is the author of more than 15 books, including his latest, The Tangled Tree, A Radical New History of Life. David will be speaking at the Wisconsin Book Fest later this week. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, Rob, good to talk with you, and I look forward to getting back to Madison.
Looking forward to having you in town. Let's start with this basic idea of the tree of life, kind of the metaphor that guides your book and gets more tangled the more we dig into it. Talk a little bit about where this came from.
Well, it's an old idea, an old phrase. I mean, it goes back to the Bible. It goes back to other ancient literature, the tree of life. But beginning with Charles Darwin, it became an evolutionary tree of life, a picture of the history of life on Earth as understood through the evolution of different lineages, beginning with a single source of life and diverging to yield the biological diversity we see on the planet today. That's the classic Darwinian tree of life that, as you said, is now under reconsideration, to put it politely.
Well, one of the ways you look at a few different big stories and the ways we've redrawn that tree, and one is once upon a time we thought there were kind of two basic forms of life, little bacteria dudes and everything else with these more complex cells. And then along comes this idea, well, there's a third thing. Tell us that story.
Right. Along comes this discovery in 1977 by a man named Carl Woese at the University of Illinois in Urbana that there is, in fact, a third kingdom, or as he calls them, domains, a third major domain of life, a group of creatures that had been taken for bacteria, small, single-celled, simple internal structure creatures, microbes, but that when considered under his methods of sequencing genomes, very early genome sequencing, revealed themselves to be not bacteria at all, and in fact more different from bacteria than they are from us, than they are from the limb of the tree of life that includes all complex creatures, animals, plants, fungi, etc. These things are now known as archaea because they're thought to be perhaps related to the oldest forms of life on Earth. But there it was, discovered by Carl Woese, a third kingdom of life. And that was sort of the opening shot in this revolution I describe in the book.
And part of that revolution is this new way, this new technology that, say, Charles Darwin wouldn't have had handy for him, where we can read, and we can do it more effectively and cheaply, we can read DNA, dig down to the molecules. Talk about how that's shaking up the way we do evolution.
That's right. It's this whole new field of science with the fancy name molecular phylogenetics. And essentially what that means is sequencing genomes, sequencing the DNA, and in some cases RNA within living organisms, and then comparing those sequences between different organisms to see who is how closely related to who else and how far back in time the divergences of different lineages go. But in doing that, scientists also started to discover that there were genes moving sideways, not just vertically through the limbs of the tree of life.
Talking to David Quammen about his new book, The Tangled Tree, A Radical New History of Life. He is speaking at the Wisconsin Book Festival this Thursday at 6 at the Discovery Building in Madison. Now let's dig into that idea you just dropped on us, David. My understanding of genetics is I get my genes from my parents, and then they get them from their parents, and so on. And that's how I got most of my genes, right? But there's, they call them in football the lateral, and that's happening in the genetic world.
Yes, there is this phenomenon that scientists call horizontal gene transfer. Genes moving sideways across species boundaries, even across boundaries between kingdoms of life. This is supposed to be impossible. I'd written three or four earlier books on evolution, and I thought I knew a couple of good reasons why it was impossible, but it turns out it is possible. It's not easy. It's not frequent, except among bacteria and archaea. It happens very rampantly among them, genes moving sideways. But it happens also in higher creatures, so that we humans contain some stretches of DNA that have come to us sideways from bacteria and sizable stretches of DNA that have come to us sideways from viruses in the course of viral infections that have gotten into the germline, into the reproductive cells, into the ovaries and testes of humans and been passed down. 8% of our genomes, we now know, consist of viral DNA acquired sideways.
I want to nail this down here. Somebody along the way could have a virus, pop new genes into them, and they pass them down to their kids. It's not just in a skin cell or something. It actually is passed down to future generations.
That's right. Retroviruses, which insert their DNA into the genomes of the cells they infect. In the case of HIV, they infect immune cells, and we call that AIDS. But if they infect reproductive cells and not just the immune cells in the blood, if they infect eggs and sperm, then they can patch their DNA into the DNA that is passed along to offspring. And that has happened enough times so that our genomes, as I say, now consist of about 8% viral DNA acquired sideways.
Now, as this affects evolution, the way Darwin presented it, one way it sounds to me like it could account for more variation, right? Because all we thought of earlier was, okay, genes mutate and then get passed on, the natural selection works on them. This is another mechanism for a species to have new genes to be subject to natural selection, right?
That's exactly right, and that's important. These new discoveries don't overturn Darwin, but they add to Darwinian theory of evolution by revealing that mutation is not the only source of innovation in genomes. It doesn't just happen by incremental changes when DNA copies itself inaccurately by one letter or a few letters. Innovation can also come into a genome in huge lumps, in quanta, in whole genes and stretches, packets of genes, coming in sideways by horizontal gene transfer and providing new innovation, new material on which Darwinian natural selection acts.
You mentioned that bacteria are more prone to do this horizontal stuff, this horizontal gene transfer. For bacteria that cause diseases, is this something that makes them something we worry about more?
This is vastly important when it comes to the matter of disease-causing bacteria, because we now realize that this whole problem that everybody has heard about, antibiotic-resistant bacteria, things like MRSA, these killer bugs that you can't kill with the antibiotics that we have, we now realize that a single strain of bacteria may acquire its resistance to a certain antibiotic gradually by incremental mutation, but once acquired, it can pass the gene for that resistance sideways to a completely different kind of bacterium, from Streptococcus to Staphylococcus, from Staphylococcus to Salmonella. Packets of resistance conferring genes moving sideways instantly from one kind of bacteria into another, and that's why antibiotic resistance has spread around the world so quickly and is now killing tens of thousands of people every year.
All right, that's disturbing. I want to bring things back to the family tree now. It sounds like usually if we did genetic testing of humans, we'd figure out, if we tested most of our genes, we'd find, oh, our cousins, the chimpanzees and orangutans, are pretty close to them, further from other primates and so on down the line. But if we picked a particular gene, it might look like we're closely related to, I don't know, a muskrat or a pumpkin or something, if those particular genes got transferred over?
Or a bacterium? Yes, yes.
It's probably not pumpkin?
Very counterintuitive. It's less likely that it's a pumpkin.
Fair.
It's easier for a bacterium to get some DNA into our genome than it is for a pumpkin.
All right, but does this muddy the waters as we're trying to map that family tree out if there's this stray stuff in there?
It absolutely does, and that's why my book is entitled The Tangled Tree. What this reveals is that the shape of the history of life is not just shaped like a tree with limbs and branches diverging, 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 but that in some cases, limbs and branches converge. moving sideways. Imagine one branch moving sideways, flowing into another branch and carrying its sap into that other branch. We now realize that that's what the quote-unquote tree of life looks like.
Now, this molecular phylogenetics you're talking about, it's made a lot of discoveries already, but in the world of science, this is pretty new stuff. What are you watching for on the frontiers of this now?
Well, we're learning more and more about now that we have the human genome sequenced, more and more about where all of the DNA, 3.2 billion letters of DNA in our genomes, where it came from. We're learning more about human identity. Of course, we're learning more about issues of human health, but we're also learning about our own deepest history. We're learning that we humans are, we think of ourselves as individuals, but in fact, we are mosaics. We contain some ancestry from bacteria, some ancestry from viruses, some ancestry, of course, from other primates. So it binds us even more closely to the rest of the natural world. It's humbling, but I think it's also majestic and exhilarating to get this dawning new understanding of our human identities.
In a broader perspective of how we think of science, you mentioned earlier that you've written books that assumed this stuff couldn't happen. Does this kind of reinforce the idea that science is a process, it's not a set of facts memorized from a textbook, but it's this living thing that we're doing all the time?
Absolutely. Science is discovery. Science is hypothesis testing. Science is empirically supported theories. But it's also competition and ambition and insecurity and other moments. It's drinking beer in the corridors of hotels during conferences. It's a very human process, and looking at it, as I try to in this book, reminds us that even the biggest of ideas are works in progress. That's part of the ethic and the ethos of science, that we make these discoveries, we support them, we can count on them, and yet some of them continue to evolve and change.
David, enjoy your visit to Wisconsin, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. Much enjoyed talking with you.
That's David Quammen, author of more than 15 books, including his latest. It's called The Tangled Tree, A Radical New History of Life. David will be speaking at the Wisconsin Book Festival on Thursday at 6 p.m. at the Discovery Building in Madison.